this morning. Hallelujah. It said he also prayed this, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So I pray this morning that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, they would be open, that we would be able to see, according to the scriptures this morning, that we would be able to see that revelation would come forth and be powerful and change your thinking, renew your mind, and also unite us together. I'm going to go to Ephesians. I'm not teaching this morning. I'll let Jim teach, but thank you, Jim. But I just wanted to say all this morning because I was like, wow, this is amazing. I should have underlined it. I'm using Jim's Bible here. It talks about how that we, if you look at Ephesians 3 and verse 10, says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So this morning, we're believing for the manifold wisdom of God to be made known in this room. In this room. The thing that Don and I were talking about, Don South, as we were praying on Thursday morning, in this room today are angels learning about the gospel. You guys hearing that? Because God created us to be higher than the angels. When we go to heaven, we will rule and reign over the angelic host. I believe that angels come to church to hear about the revelation of the Word of God. They come to church to learn about this revelation and that they're in this room today. You guys ever heard that before? Well, I'm going to read the scripture again. It says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. To the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. It could be demons, could be angels. Demons, angels, we were made to rule and reign over angels. They are not sons and daughters. They are just created beings created to serve God. We are family. Adopted into that family by his son Jesus Christ and what he did for us. And the revelation of the word of God belongs to us. And I've heard Kenneth Hagin talk about this and many times about, you know, the heavenly host learns the gospel from us, the revelation that comes forth. So we believe that the revelation of the Word of God is going to come forth today. As Jim speaks, you guys, this is Jim Rogan. If you don't know him, everybody give him a big hand this morning. We pray about the manifold wisdom of God, that the revelation of the Holy Spirit be made known, because the teacher is in the house this morning. Are you excited for that? Hallelujah. Come on in. Squeeze in. Find a seat. If you want, can you move over, Nate, one? And then those guys can sit together in the front. Hallelujah. Anyway, Jim is a good friend of ours. He's been here many times. We went to Bible school together. We know each other for years. Jim, for the past 17 years, has been stationed in Germany as a missionary at Rhema, Germany, and Rhema Bible Church. He not only teaches there at the Bible school, but he teaches in the countries of Europe. He's been teaching in Greece, in Switzerland, the Netherlands, Belgium, Northern Ireland, and where else? In England and in Germany. So 17 years he's been on the mission field, and we are glad to have him here. You're going to love his ministry, so let's get ready to receive and let's pray together. Amen. Let's grab the hand of somebody next to you. Father God, we thank you for the revelation and wisdom and knowledge that's going to come forth today by your Spirit. We thank you, you reveal yourself to us through your word. And we thank you, Lord, you use Jim to speak as if his tongue is the pen of a ready writer, speaking under the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that that wisdom will be made known to us as individuals and as City Park Church, that together we would be united through the message that's being preached today, and that we would break through to the next level that you have for us as a congregation. We pray that in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. Come on, give Jim a big hand.
Groovy. All righty. Oh, that's what I was after. Well, good morning, everybody. Morning. Glad to see you all here. I'd rather talk to people than empty seats. Use that one like 100 times. You know, you're out teaching, preaching long enough, you start using up all your clever little sayings, and then you got to find new ones. But I am glad you're here, and I believe we are going to have a great time this morning, learning some things from the Word. God is always good. The Word is always good. And I'm excited to be here. As Pastor Bob said, you know, we've been friends for many years. Just two young, squirrely guys going to Bible school. I was working at Pizza Hut, he's working at McDonald's, and God is bigger than McDonald's and Pizza Hut. Hallelujah. We've been delivered. Yeah. Praise God. But there are some things that we're going to be talking about today that I believe are going to help. And, you know, the verse I was thinking about, Pastor Bob, I looked it up on my phone. You can only use your phone in church if you're using the Bible app. Otherwise, you get it. Anyways. Yeah, don't be beeping and clinking and dinking and all this stuff. But in 1 Peter 1:12, it talks about the angels' desire to look into the things of the gospel. We're in a whole different class than they are, but that's another story. I actually taught a class on angels one time. We had that as part of our curriculum once. And is everybody here from City Park Church? Is there anybody who's not? Yeah, let me say it that way. Anybody here who's not from City Park Church? Because tomorrow I'll talk a little bit more about what I'm doing. But you're all cool. Or at least you don't want to admit that you're not from the church, right? Did you raise your hand? Yeah, okay. I thought I saw Sibile raise her hand. No, I'm not from here. Anyway, but there are several things we want to talk about today, and I've been in touch with Pastor Bob, and we've been talking about it a little bit and what we're going to do, and I believe God's given me some good direction for some things that we need to talk about and share and get into that'll help all of us. Amen. God is interested in what we're doing, right? God's not just interested in people who are going to be little zombies and robots and serve him and do his will because he's the master and we're the slave and all that stuff. There is that element in Christianity that we serve him and he is God, of course. But God wants us all to have a good life, doesn't he? You know, I was just thinking this morning, yesterday, after we had dinner, we went out and we took a little bit of a walk. And have you ever taken a walk? You know, the Bible talks about us, our relationship with God is like a walk. But what would it be like if you're out for a walk and you had no purpose in your walk? You just started taking a walk, and we go walking yesterday, and if I said, well, where are we going? And Pastor Bob and Sibylle are like, I don't know, we're just out walking. It's like, well, what's the point then? Or if you had, I'm not married or anything, but if you're married or in your relationship with somebody, what's happening in that relationship? Is it just kind of stagnant? That wouldn't be a good relationship, would it? If you're taking a walk, you ought to be going somewhere. And if you're in a relationship, if it's a normal, healthy relationship, it should be developing and getting stronger, shouldn't it? It's the same thing with our walk and relationship with God. There should be progress. We should be going somewhere, and there should be some kind of a development in that. It's not just that we get born again one day, and then we just kind of hang out until we go to heaven, or we pray that the rapture comes really fast and we get out of here or something like that. No, God's got a reason for us to be here. He wants us, of course, to have a great life. One of the verses that impacted me a lot before I was a believer was John 10:10. The thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I'm come to give you life and life more abundantly. And when I heard that, I thought, can it really be true that he wants me to have a better life? My life was pretty messed up at the time. But I remember thinking, is it really possible that he can give me a great life? And he can. God's not just wanting us to be the little obedient slaves, but he wants us to have a great life. But within that great life that we have, there's a purpose. There's things that he has for us to do, of course, to serve him and have our wonderful life, but also to serve and help other people. there's a lot of elements to this that I think believers a lot of times miss and neglect. And because of it, they're not really serving God the way they should. They're not having the great life that they should, and they're not doing anything for anybody else. If we're not having a great life, we're not going to be a very good influence on other people, right? Now, before I was a Christian, when I was out doing all the crazy things I was doing, I was an influence on others. I did have an impact on other people, but it wasn't very good. You know, I even had one of the guys I hung out with, one of the guys that I hung out with, and he told me one time, my mom says I shouldn't spend time with you. I'm like, oh, thank you. I was a bad influence. You know, a lot of times if your daughter's dating somebody who's really weird, it's like, stay away from that guy. But other people, you know, my guy friends are like, their mom is telling them to stay away from me. But we want to be a positive influence. We want to do great things for God. Last November, I was in Athens, Greece. I was teaching a seminar there for some graduates from the Rhema School in Greece, and I've taught there a couple times as well. And we did a couple of days of the seminar, and I taught in their church, and they took me up to some of the sites, up to the Parthenon up there and the Acropolis, and we went out to the ancient city of Corinth. And it was really cool, and looking at this stuff, and they're Greek, so they were telling me about all this stuff. And this thought just hit me. I don't know if it's one I ever stuck on Facebook, but I only put nice things on Facebook, right? I actually put that I was here this morning teaching, and I put little thoughts. But I had this thought that occurred to me that sometimes when I'm doing things in Europe, I get to go and see some of the sites, and that's really cool, and there's a lot of historic things, and Germany's a great country. And I remember thinking as I was looking at some of the stuff in Greece, I thought, you know, I don't want to just see history. I want to make history. I'm not looking to be a celebrity or famous or something like that, even though people often mistake me for Brad Pitt. I know that happens all the time. That's really tough. I just, you know, I get mobbed in airports. I get, please settle down. No. But, you know, I'm not intending to be some kind of a celebrity, but I want to make an impact in the world. And it's not just me because I'm the guy in Germany and Europe and God's called me to teach. It's not just because of that, because all of us, God wants us to be famous in his kingdom. He wants us to make some kind of history. He wants us to make an impact on people. And so how are we going to do that? When I was emailing with Pastor Bob about some of this, I think it was actually I who suggested, you know, we could call this Bible school time here today, we could call it going to the next level. Because there is, you could say, levels with God, development in our relationship with him, places we're going in our walk with him. But the question is, how are we going to get there? I just did another service this last Sunday at some other friend's church in Wisconsin, and I talked about how do you reach your goals, and it kind of fits with some of this stuff. But how are we going to do the things that God wants us to do? And there were three words that I thought of, which fits well because we have 3 hour sessions today. And what I thought about is we're going to talk about what do we do or should we do, how are we going to do that, and then why should we do it? And we'll go over this several times, so if you don't hear what I said the first time, it'll come back, as I'm a teacher and repetition is the motor of learning. So repetition is really good, and you'll hear me repeat things often. And I also teach in different Bible schools. I've been to 15 so far that I've taught in at least one time, and in our Bible schools, you have people coming from all different levels of spiritual development. Some of them, they're real new Christians. I'll say something like, let's turn to, go to Colossians chapter 1. That's going to be the first thing we'll look at. And some of these people, what I usually do is I give the Bible verse a couple of times because people can't always find them real fast. I sometimes will say things like, turn to Colossians 1, and you see people looking like, Colossians? What's a Colossians? It's like it's in the Bible. Or sometimes some of the books, they're not sure if it's Old Testament, New Testament, or in between somewhere. But I'll say these things several times. But you see, people are all kinds of different levels of development, and the same with all of us here today. We're all in different places with God. We all have different abilities and giftings from God. And the thing is, it's like the guy, him and his wife, who founded everything over in Germany, John and Michelle Grunewald. And I was going to say he's the pastor, but he's not pastor anymore. They travel quite a bit, and they oversee all the stuff that's happening with Rhema in Europe, Africa, and the Middle East. And he has said this several times, and I really like it. God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. He loves all of us just the way we are today. God is, he's our Heavenly Father. He loves us. He wants to help us, but he wants us to go beyond where we are now. God doesn't just want us to sit and stagnate for the rest of our lives and just kind of be a bump on a log or a somebody who's warming the seat at City Park Church. God wants us to go somewhere and do something great for him, no matter what that might be. And again, I've taught in Bible schools where I get this kind of feedback, you could say, really it's by the Holy Spirit, that people, they look at me and they think, well, yeah, that's you. You're the teacher, preacher. You're called into full-time ministry stuff, and that's just for you. But this is for everybody. This is something, the Bible applies to everybody. There's not a special edition of the Bible just for teachers and preachers. And sometimes we listen to the lie from the devil that if we're not upstanding in the pulpit or teaching somewhere, that we're not as important to God as anybody else. You know, I was just telling Jan downstairs before, I've used her as an example in Bible school. Because when I was here last year, you guys were just getting into the building, and Pastor Bob and Donna and I were here a couple days, and I sat and drank coffee and watched them work. And it was pretty exciting. Go faster, Bob. Work harder. Come on, Don. Get that thing up there. Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah, but anyways, I was telling Jan that 2 years ago we had this other Bible school time here, and you know, she helped put all the food and stuff together and did all that, and it was really great. And you know, people could come here to the school, and then there's a lunch and everything. And I was talking about how some people would look at that and say that's not very important. I said, but actually, that element of the whole day, and it's happening today as well, that element actually can help people and encourage them to come to Bible school. And so really what Jan does is contributing to what I'm doing. It all fits together. The people that put up the tables, Brandon back in the sound booth. I sometimes mix up people's names, you know, I get around. But everybody who did something to help put this stuff together for today, they get a benefit from the things that are happening. From each and every person that benefits from the teaching today, all these people get a part of that reward. And we don't always think that way. You know, I like the story back in the Old Testament with David, and after their families and everything were taken away from the city of Ziklag, they went and pursued these guys, and they got everything back. Part of the group with David, they stayed with all the supplies, and the other part actually went into the battle. And then when they came back with all the spoils that they took from the enemy, they came back and they're like, okay, let's divide it up. And some of these guys, it said the evil men said, no, those people who just stayed here, they shouldn't get the same as the rest of us who actually fought. And David said, no, that's wrong. And that's a good principle for us to pay attention to, that no matter what we do for God, it's important. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about what you're doing, because nobody else is going to have to answer to God one day for what you did or should have done. Yeah. You know, it won't be. The Bible says that each one of us will give an account for themselves. It doesn't say each one will give an account for their pastor. I think some people have the idea that, man, this is going to be my time. Now, Jesus, let me tell you what my pastor did. You know what he didn't do, and he should have done, and his wife, and no, we all give account for ourselves. That's why it's important for us to know what are we supposed to be doing, how are we supposed to do it, and why. Because if we don't understand these things, we're going to go through life just kind of spinning our wheels and never get anywhere. That'll make the devil happy, but it won't make God happy. So in Colossians chapter 1, we're going to start here, and there's several places we're going to go. Talking about our walk with God and going to another level. But I really like these verses here in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. And this is Paul praying for the church, just like Pastor Bob was reading about praying for the Ephesians. And it's interesting, I was thinking about this as well, in Ephesians where Paul is praying for those people to have the eyes of their understanding enlightened, for them to have a spiritual revelation about something, he wasn't praying that they were learning anything. But he was praying that they'd have an understanding of what they already knew. And that's part of this whole process, that is not just the gathering of information or learning facts, but it's also getting an understanding of what that means. And that fits in here, too, with Colossians, starting chapter 1, verse 9. Paul says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." So it's not just knowing about the will of God, but it's also having wisdom and spiritual understanding along with that knowledge. We need to start out having the will of God, knowing what that is, having wisdom and spiritual understanding to do it the right way, because if we don't, we never go anywhere. If you don't know the destination you're going to, how are you ever going to get there? If you don't know the will of God, how are you ever going to do it? Right? Our goal in life is to please God. Paul talked about that in Corinthians. He said, we make it our aim to be pleasing to God. Well, the only way to please God is to do what God wants, right? If I get up here and talk about the sights I've seen in Germany, that wouldn't be pleasing to Pastor Bob because that's not what he wants me to do. You know, we talked about what we're going to do here in the seminar. But if I go off on a tangent talking about something like Green Bay Packer football, yeehaw Green Bay, well, what does that have to do with anything, right? That's not what we're looking at. That's not what the will of the leader is. So if I want to please the leader of this church, if I want to please my Heavenly Father, who's my ultimate leader, I've got to know what that will is. I've got to know what he wants me to do. So Paul says, I'm praying that you'll know his will with wisdom and spiritual understanding. Well, that's great, Paul, but why? Well, let's go on to verse 10. He says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. So he says that we need to know the will of God, have wisdom and spiritual understanding, so we can have a walk or a life worthy of God. It starts out with knowing his will, knowing what we're supposed to be doing. If we don't know what that is, we're not going to go anywhere. What does he want us to do? What is God's plan for our life? What is his purpose? Why are we here? What does he want us to do? He says, if we know his will, then we'll have a life that's worthy of God. And he goes on and talks about fully pleasing him. That's what I was just talking about. And then he talks about being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. God, the what that God wants us to do that we're going to start talking about today is doing the will of God, doing good works. That's what God wants us to do. That's the what. What are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be doing something for God. The Bible refers to it a lot of times as good works, which is interesting because you could have good works or bad works then, couldn't you? It's not just works. There are good works, but there could also be bad works. But it's interesting there in verse 10 that he talks about being fruitful in every good work. So is it possible that you could be unfruitful in a good work? Could you do something that's good and still not produce the right results? I would say yes. Because if God has called me to be a teacher, which he has, and God has told me you go live in Germany and you teach in Germany, you teach in Europe, if that's the will of God, then can I go to South America? No, not in the will of God. I won't fully please God. I won't be walking in his will and doing what he wants because I'll be in the wrong place. I might be doing a good thing, but it's not the good thing he wants me to do. And I see a lot of people that are doing a lot of things and they're not producing any real results, and it's because they're not supposed to be doing that thing. They're in the wrong place. That's why it's so important for us to go back to knowing what is his will, knowing what is our purpose, knowing what is his plan, because if we don't, we never go anywhere. You know, I flew from Milwaukee, Wisconsin to Chicago, and then Chicago here to Portland. Now, if I get on the airplane and they go, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our flight. We have no idea where we're going right now, but welcome to our flight. You know, I take the train a lot of times when I'm in Germany. If I get on the train and they come on, guten Morgen, meine Damen und Herren, and then they're like, oh, but we don't know where we're going, just have a nice ride. Well, that's not a nice ride. It may be enjoyable, drive, you know, going down by the Rhine River and to look at that, it's really beautiful. But what's the purpose? What's the point? We not only want to do good works, but we want to produce good fruit in the good works. We want to do the thing that God wants us to, the way he wants us to, which I talked about the how. We want to know what we should do and how we should do it. The why will come later. But we need to understand these things so that we are fruitful in the kingdom of God, so that we are accomplishing all the things he wants us to accomplish. There's too many Christians that are just kind of killing time, so to speak. They're just kind of filling the space in the church, and they show up on Sunday if they feel like it and if they want to be there on time, and they kind of roll in sometimes and, you know, sit there and look at the pastor and think, man, I wish he would have wore different clothes today. I don't like those. And thinking about it, I'm going to go have my bratwurst after service, you know, and that'll be great. And, you know, but God's got a plan for everybody. Paul was praying this for the whole church at Colossae. He didn't say, now I'm praying for you, pastor. He didn't say, I'm praying for all you spiritual people. This was something that included everybody. Everybody's got a plan. Everybody's got a purpose. I still remember the conversation we had one time, and I think this is when you were still traveling around quite a bit, and, you know, because your pastor and pastors Bob and Sabile, they used to travel, and, you know, I'm sure most of you know all that. And I remember one time we were talking about some of this stuff, and you were saying to me that if I had the chance to go somewhere just one time, what I would do is tell people they have a purpose in their life, that God has a plan for their life. And I remember us talking about that, and that just kind of stuck with me because that's so important. And that's something that I try to get over to people, because there's some people that they're not sure why they're here. They don't understand that they have a purpose. Or they think somebody else might have a purpose, but I don't. Or I've made a lot of mistakes in life, so my thing is over, and I just got to kind of wait here until, you know, I go to heaven someday. But that's not true. God wants all of us to know his will. He wants us to have a life that's worthy of him, that fully pleases him, and he wants us to be fruitful in what we're supposed to be doing. So we've got to know what is it that we should be doing. And he talks about also here in the end of verse 10, he said, increasing in the knowledge of God and then strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. There's another verse. Some verses we'll look up, some I'll just mention. But in 1 Thessalonians, Paul was talking about some people that weren't really doing anything. You know, he said some people that are just kind of hanging out and not working. And Paul said, if people will not work, then they should not eat. Now, he was talking about a natural thing, and wouldn't that be interesting if the government did stuff like that, you know? Anyways, let's go on. Hey, true story, I've been on food stamps. I know what it's like, you know. Well, I could tell you some stories. Anyway, but you can take that over into the spiritual world, I believe, and where if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Now, if God is feeding us things, if God is teaching us things, but we're not doing anything with what he's given us, then why should he give us any more? If he's given me all these great revelations, but I never do anything with them, why should he give me any more great revelations? What's the point? You know, if I just keep eating and eating and eating naturally and never do anything, what's going to happen? I'll just get bigger and bigger until I explode. Maybe I'm having a good time. Oh, man, that's a great piece of pie. Oh, give me some more of that stuff. Oh, give me some more of this. Give me. But if I'm not going to do anything, what's the point of gaining anything else? God wants us to know his will, not just so we can be smart, not just so we can fill our head with a bunch of information. That's not the goal. The goal is not just to expand our brain, right? The goal is to know what is his will so we can do the things that God wants us to do. And I, because I go to so many different places, I've, like I said, 15 different Bible schools, and I've been to, I've spoken in 30 different churches at least once. And that's not counting like a couple months ago in Bonn, Germany, I did the Women's Aglow meeting. Women's Aglow. I do everything. I actually had, this is my what's a good spiritual word for pride? Oh, no. no, but I had one time in our church there in Bonn where I taught the children, the youth, and the adults all in the same month. So nobody can match that, I don't think, anyway. But what is the will of God? What is his plan? What is his purpose? Not just so we can gain a lot of information and be all lifted up in pride, but so we can do something and be effective for God. That's the plan. That's what he wants for us. And, anyway, let's go over here to, let's just go right back to Ephesians. That's a couple books back from where we are. In Ephesians chapter 2, we looked in Colossians chapter 1. And, I've been doing this now. I've been a Christian now for 34 years. And I've been doing this kind of teaching, preaching stuff for over 20 years. Like Pastor Bob, right after Bible school, I started out doing some things. I went back to my home church, worked there for a while. But then before I went to Germany, I was actually back living in Tulsa for a while. But I've been doing this for a long time, and I've met a lot of people. and talk to a lot of Christians from a lot of different churches. We have our school right now, because we oversee all these different Bible schools, the school that's running right now in Cologne, Germany, we have about 60 students. They come from, I believe, is 15 or 16 different churches, which is really cool. So I get to talk to a lot of Christians in a lot of different stages of spiritual development and from a lot of different churches. And there's so many people that they just don't know, what am I supposed to do with my life? One of the classes that I teach is about the Holy Spirit, and I teach about how to be led by the Holy Spirit as well. And we talked about some of that a couple of years ago, a little bit. And so many people say, how do I find out the will of God? And part of what we're talking about today actually answers that question. We a lot of times, and some of us teacher preachers, we're guilty of this as well. But sometimes what we try to do is we try to take part of what the Bible says, like faith or like prayer or love or giving or serving or whatever, and we take that one piece out to look at it, and then sometimes we lift that one piece up above the rest, thinking that, oh yeah, this is really the main thing. But it all fits together. Now, if you would have, maybe this is next time, if you would advertise we're going to have the prosperity seminar, or we're going to talk about the prophecy and gifts of the Spirit seminar, you'd have a lot of people show up. But if you say we're going to have the how to walk in love seminar, that's when I bring my phone so I can play solitaire or something, because nobody will show up. Right? Amen. I agree. But there's a lot of people, they want certain things from the Word or from God, not realizing that it all fits together, that you're not going to get one without the other. Yeah. Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Yeah, I got on something at this other church. I did a seminar in the city of Hamburg a couple weeks ago, and I got on one thing, and everybody's kind of looking at me like, you know, the deer in the headlights look, oh. And I said, well, let's move on. I can see you're pretty excited about that. The pastor was pretty happy, but some of the people were looking at me like, anyways, Ephesians chapter 2. And you're probably familiar with some of these verses, starting in verse 8. He says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And that's a great fact. We can't do anything to earn our salvation. God loves us just the way we are today, but he loves us too much to leave us that way, of course. But the thing is, we want to have a life that pleases God, but we're not earning a position with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about that we are new creations in Christ, and we are the righteousness of God in Christ, that we shouldn't look at ourselves in the natural anymore. God is looking at us in our relationship with him as our Heavenly Father. He loves us. He cares about us. And we are not going to do anything to earn any special favor with him. We can't do anything to make him love us even more. We are in that relationship with him. You know, like in my family, I've got three brothers. And usually when I'm in the States, I stay with my mom. I can't stay with my dad. He's in heaven. They won't let me up there right now. I don't get that. I don't correspond with him much right now. People are like, really? Yeah. We're not praying to the saints in this church, are we? No? Sometimes. No. Oh. Well, that's it for the seminar. Everybody have a good day now. But anyhow, you know, I've got three brothers, and all of us, we're all children of my parents. I'm not more of my parents' child than my older brother or younger brothers. We're all on the same level because we're all in that same relationship. But how we live our lives is going to bring more or less pleasure to our parents. Now, for a few years, I was away from God, running around acting like a fool, and I didn't bring a lot of joy and happiness to my parents. The things I was doing were not very pleasing to my parents, but I was still their child. In the same way, we are God's children, and he loves us, and he cares about us, and we are not going to earn a better position with him by doing something, but there are still things he wants us to do. We're not saved by our works, but look at verse 10. It says, you know, we're saved by grace through faith. And then it goes on in verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has a plan and purpose, and he's already prepared the path for us. I live close to the Rhine River in Germany, and I can go down there, and I usually like to go and run down by the Rhine and all this stuff, and it's real nice. I don't have to go down there and create the path. The path is already there. I just have to walk on the path. And it's the same thing with God and his plan in our life. He's already prepared all this stuff for us. We've just got to find that path. We've just got to find the way he wants us to go and the things he wants us to do. We are his workmanship. It's kind of like I do with this this pencil here. This pencil. I'm in the South now all of a sudden. Well, y'all, this pencil here. Man. One of those days. No. But this pencil was created for a specific purpose, right? In fact, that word, it says we are his workmanship, literally means we're his masterpiece. In fact, that's what we're teaching about in our kids' ministry over in Germany this month. Anyway, but this pen was created with a specific purpose in mind. Now, for me, you could take this pencil and say, well, it could work for a comb for me, you know, just kind of keep my hair in line there. But that's not the intended purpose. Or I could get up in the morning, put a little toothpaste on it, and but that doesn't work as good either because that's not the intended purpose. Those are good things to comb my hair and brush my teeth or clean my ears or, you know, throw at a bug on the wall or something. But that's not the purpose that this pencil was designed for. I get the best use from this when I use it for its designed purpose. And it's the same thing with us. We're going to have the best kind of life when we're doing the things that God wants us to do the way he wants us to do. That's part of the why. Because if we're not doing what God wants the way God wants, then we're not going to have the kind of life we want. And we want it backwards. We want to have the kind of life we want and then see how we can fit in what God wants. But that's not right. We were talking about some of this yesterday. That's another part too. But the Bible talks about, you know, in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about spiritual leaders, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And the Bible says that we're supposed to obey our spiritual leaders. And I know that's always popular. But, you know, the Bible doesn't say we have to agree with our spiritual leaders or we have to always like what they say, but we're supposed to obey them. Now, it doesn't mean if the pastor says, let's go, you know, over here to the gas station and steal all the money. Well, that's not biblical. You're not supposed to do that. But there's a lot of times, even in our church with our pastor, where he'll say, I think we ought to do this, and I'm thinking, I don't know if I want to do it that way. Well, it doesn't matter what I think. See, we look at it and say, I want to do what I want, the way I want, and then God will bless it. But that's backwards. We need to do what God wants, the way he wants, and then we have that blessed life that we're looking for. But we've got it backwards all the time. Well, I want to have a great church, but I wish the pastor would do it this way. No, if you want to have a great church, then you do it the pastor's way. I can see that's exciting. Please, no dancing on the tables. Settle down. Can they dance on these tables? No. No, don't do it. Older tables, older people. What's going on here? Are you saying something about my age? Young lady? Okay. But we are his workmanship. We're like his masterpiece. Like I went to Amsterdam one time with some friends and had this museum with paintings by Rembrandt and stuff. It was just awesome. But you couldn't take any pictures in there. Oh, just bugged me. Even with my phone, I won't use the flash. No, nine. No, it wasn't nine. It was whatever the Dutch say. Niet or something. I don't know. There's a lot of vowels. I know that's what the Dutch, right? Double O's. Anyways. But we are God's masterpiece. He created us with a specific purpose in mind, and we're only going to have the kind of life we want and please God the way we should if we're doing what he wants. One of our goals in life is to discover what's God's plan for my life. What does he want me to do? What is his purpose? What has he created me to do? He's prepared these good works that we're supposed to walk in. He's prepared a plan for our life. Our goal is to discover that plan. And it's not like he's trying to hide it. We just read there in Colossians chapter 1 that Paul was praying for these believers that they would understand the will of God. I like how it says in Psalm 103 that God knows us. He understands us. He knows we're just dust. God understands who we are. He knows where we live. He's got our email and whatever else you might have for connections. God knows how to talk to us and get us what we need. But we've got a part to play too. It's not just we sit at home eating Cheetos or whatever until something magical drops on us out of heaven. No, that's why we need to know what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be doing some good works. We have to do them the way God wants us to, when God wants us to, because that's when we have the best kind of life. That's the why. That's the part everybody's looking for. And again, we're just doing it all backwards a lot of times. I mentioned this last night. I think it was here last night when we were talking that years ago, and you can turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. It's our next verse. We're having a Bible school, so we're going to have a lot of verses. I'm so happy about the Bible. I would like to say I love the Bible, but that's not really correct. But I'm very thrilled with the Bible. The Bible has helped to change my life. It's the Word of God to us. It's the will of God for us. But, you know, years ago, I used to think I knew what would make me happy. I had it all figured out what I was going to do and what was going to make me happy. And that didn't include moving to another country. And at first, it didn't even include being in what we call full-time ministry. But as I started in my walk with God, in my relationship with Him, He started giving me directions and showing me a way to go that was totally different than what I thought. And I'm so happy that I'm doing what He wants, the way He wants me to, because it's brought me to a place of real happiness and satisfaction. Now, is my life perfect? No. I'm still a human, believe it or not. I'm still a human. You know, there's still different things going on. Everything is not perfect everywhere because people are still people. But I have a life now that's better than I ever could have imagined. I remember when I got born again years ago, and I had no idea what God wanted me to do. And I remember because I came out of kind of a messed up background, I thought, you know, if they let me be an usher someday, boy, that would be great. If they let me help clean the church or something, because that's about all I could ever do. And that's great. I mean, somebody's got to clean the church, right? If you don't clean the church, you're like meeting in a pig pen or something. And nobody wants that, right? Or is it no? No, we don't want to meet in the pig pen. But I remember not having any idea what God wanted me to do. I had some of my own ideas what I thought I should do. And when God started talking to me about doing some of this teaching, preaching kind of stuff, I was like, maybe a little bit, but I don't want to get up in front of people and talk all the time. That doesn't really excite me very much. I'm not real thrilled about the idea that I get up and I stand there and blah, 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 blah. Because what am I supposed to say? You know, what am I going to tell people that's going to mean anything to them? I still remember years ago, and I think it was after Bible school, I did a little bit of this kind of stuff before Bible school. And I remember some of the first times that I'm up there teaching and people are there and they're making notes and I'm thinking, what are you writing down? Did I say something that was good? Did that make sense? Was that okay? I never understood the real plan of God for my life until I got into His Word and started recognizing that He does have a plan, first of all. And for some people, that's the first step. Realizing that He does have a plan. That no matter where you came from, what your background is, what you've done or not done, it doesn't matter. Because God has a plan and a purpose. And my life hasn't been that bad. But I've met some people who really came out of messed up situations. People who tell you stories and you're thinking, that can't even be true. I remember hearing somebody's testimony one time, and I won't get into it, but they're telling this testimony, and I'm thinking, come on. I mean, really? For real? But no matter where you come from, what you've done or haven't done, God has a great plan. He's got a purpose. And if we find out what He wants us to do, which is basically good works, that's the what, He wants us to do something, some good works that He's planned for us to do from the foundation of the world. Before we were born, He had a plan. It's like He said to Jeremiah, He said, before I formed you in the womb, I called you. Before we were even born, God had the plan. Before we even set foot on this earth naturally, He had a purpose for us. And we've got to find out what that is. He says here, or through Peter, he says in 1 Peter chapter 4, and let's just start in verse 10. He says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And that tells us a couple of things. Number one, we have a gift from God, every one of us, not just the pastor, not just the Bible school graduate from Rhema or wherever, you know, there's a lot of other schools, but it's for everybody. They've received a gift of some kind. And we've got to discover what is that gift. Not what gift did our mother say we had or somebody said we should have or whatever, but what is the gift that God has given us? What is his plan? What is his purpose? And then he says we have to use it and minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God gives us that ability, which is part of the how do we do it. He gives us the ability to do what he wants us to do. Isn't that great? God doesn't just say, here's what you ought to do, now figure it out. It's not like the baby bird in the nest where it's like, you're supposed to fly, now boom, get out of here and fly, figure it out. Or like talking about just, you guys were just with Mark Hankins at this minister's meeting. And, you know, where Mark Hankins is kind of funny. I don't know if he told the story about teaching his kids to swim and everything. Can you talk about that? Where he'd just take them and throw them in the pool. Said, here's how you're going to learn to swim. And I mean, he's there to help them so they don't drown. You know, but this is not the pattern that God has. All right, you're supposed to do something. Now get out there and do it. And you're like, what am I supposed to do? I used to do a lot of like track and field, and it was a sport we called cross country, like a 3 mile or now it's 5 kilometer race. And they didn't just stand us out in the field and say, bang, go. And you're like, which way? Where's the goal? What am I supposed to do? It's a little bit like this place I used to work at up in northern Wisconsin. And we made a lot of these kind of like this, these big wooden beams and arches and stuff like that. And what we would do is we would run these things through a planer, you know, kind of clean the wood up a little bit, these boards. And then they would run under this thing that dripped glue on them. And then we'd stack them up and put them in a form and do all this stuff like that. And you would have, that was one of these kind of places where you had a lot of job turnover and different people would come and get hired and stuff like this. So the new guys, what we would do is usually one of the first things they did, would they would stand there when these boards would come down the line and they'd have to pick them off of there and stack them up until we had the right amount, and then we put them in the little form. And so in those bad old days, we would like to play tricks on people. And there was a lot of different little terms and stuff that we used that were specific to this job that we did. But sometimes, just for fun, me and this other guy, he was like, now watch this. We'd have a couple of new guys. And the board would come out there, and sometimes you'd have to do, we called this thing an end turn. Because these boards were not always like 60 feet long or whatever. So you'd have to do something to join them together. And these little joints couldn't line up on top of each other. So if we had something like that, they had to turn the board around. So you'd say, you know, end turn the board or whatever like that. So one day one of these things come out and this guy, we're kind of watching to make sure they're not lining up. Two new guys are piling them on there. And so this guy with me says, watch this. And he yells at these guys, hey, side mount that board. And they're like, they had no idea what he's talking about because he just made up a word. And he yells, side mount that board. And they're like, and he starts swearing, I'm you blankety blankety, side mount the blankety blankety. And they're just like, it's not really funny, but. But these guys, they're getting these commands, but they have no idea how to carry them out. See, some people think that's the way God is. Side mount that board. And you're like, God, he'll tell us what to do, and then he helps us to do it. He gives us the wisdom and the grace. Remember what Paul said in Colossians, knowing the will of God with wisdom and spiritual understanding. Not just, I'll tell you what, but he'll tell us how. He gives us the grace. He gives us the ability to do it. For people like me, the teaching and preaching part, it's not just because I filled my brain with a bunch of stuff and I wrote a bunch of stuff down that I memorized. No, he helps me to do it by his grace. Everybody has a gift. Everybody has a purpose, and he gives us the ability to carry that purpose out. And he goes on in verse 11, which kind of carries over into our next point. But in verse 11, he said, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Every one of us have received a gift. That's something you've got to get in your thinking. You've got to get that understanding that you have a purpose from God. The Bible says, like Colossians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, said we are all parts of the body. Every part is important. No matter what you're doing, no matter what somebody else thinks about it, your part is important. I still remember graduating Bible school, went back to my home church, and I was working there for a few years. God sent me back down to Tulsa, which at the time didn't make sense, but it was the next step leading me to where I am today. And I still remember at one of these meetings, meeting people, and you'd have, you know, your name and where are you located and stuff, and people come up and say, oh, what are you doing, Jim? And I'm like, well, I'm living here right now. And they're like, oh. And they'd look at me like I was something that he stepped on somewhere. Oh, you're just here? Oh. It's like, oh, and you're at City Park Church? Yeah. And what do you do? Well, I help usher. Oh. And what do you do? I work with the kids. Oh. I do the sound and the lights. Oh. That's how some people look at it, but that's not how God looks at it. Because everything is important to God. If you don't think every purpose of God is important, that's like saying you have parts of your body that are not important. And I say to anybody who believes that, you come forward and we'll start cutting parts off. Right? Like they say, well, the appendix is not really important. But what happens if your appendix wants to burst or something? You got to get it fixed. Every part is important. Every part has something to give, the Bible says. And we'll look at that here yet. But we've got to understand that he has a will, he has a purpose, there's something he wants us to do. There are some good works that he wants us to do. That's the what. That's the first thing, knowing that there is a plan, that there is a purpose. But then how exactly do we do it and why? And we mentioned both of those a little bit. But it's starting out with, it always starts out, what is the will of God? It always starts out with, what is his plan? What is his purpose? What is his direction? We get a lot of that right from the Word. We minimize the Word of God too many times. It's the Word, it's the Word, it's the Word. Brother Hagin used to say this, and I think it's such a great statement, and I've seen it over and over, where he would say, the Word of God has lost its reality in the lives of people. It's no longer the Word of God. It's, yeah, a bunch of writing on a page. Well, that's kind of nice, and, you know, I might look at it next week, and, well, Sunday's coming, and I always look at my Bible on Sunday, and then the rest of the week it's there, you know, and holds the door open so the cat can get in and out, and it's wonderful. This is our life. We need this every day because this is where the will of God is revealed to us. Talking about being led by the Spirit, and I'll say this as we close up our first session here, but people always ask me, how do I know the will of God? One of the things you need to do is read the Bible. And they're like, no, 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 no. What's God's specific will? Read the Bible. No, but I need the Holy Spirit to speak to me. Read the Bible. No, 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 no. I need a word from heaven. Can you prophesy to me? Read the Bible. Huh? I learned to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit by reading the Bible. I didn't know anything about this stuff. In fact, some of what I was being taught in my church was not accurate. But I was just in the Word, reading the Word, just reading, not getting in some big magical study or something, but just even reading the Word. And it did something to me. It changed me. You know, I could tell you a story. I remember there was a time because I was as crazy as a bed bug, you know, and I thought I must have demon problems or something. So I was going to go to these guys who are casting demons out of everything and anything. I mean, really. And I thought, I need to go and have them cast something out of me. Well, there's something called your flesh. And they can't cast your flesh out. No, 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 you just cast this thing out of me. No, you do something with your flesh. That's part of the how, right? But I just got in the Word, and God started speaking to me. And yeah, the Holy Spirit will lead us. He will help us. And the other thing I always tell people is what we're talking about today. Start doing something. Well, I don't know if I want to do that. No, wrong answer. No, start doing something. What am I supposed to do? I don't know. Well, then start doing something. Yeah, but I don't want to do that. As soon as you say that, you go to the pastor and say, Pastor, what can I do in the church? Well, we need somebody to clean the rug. I don't want to do that. No. Whatever you can find to do is a good thing. And, yeah, let's stop and take our break, and then we'll come back, and I'll tell you some more of that. You want to say something, Pastor?
Amen. I don't want you to take a break. We're going to do about 10, 15 minutes. Coffee is downstairs. You can bring coffee upstairs. Just make sure you have a cover securely on there and keep it on the table so we don't knock it over with our feet. But we do have some food as well. So let's be back here at 10:15. Okay, we're going to start at 10:15. You're dismissed. All right.